Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lunchtime Wisdom on the Within Sights Radio Network with your host, Iggy Garcia, Mark Mattini. Sit back and relax, grab a sandwich, listen to some of the coolest hosts on the internet. Food for your soul, food for your heart. Now, on to the show. Welcome to Lunchtime Wisdom Cafe. We are the coolest hosts on the universe and on this show. So I want to welcome everybody to the show. Mark, are you with us?
I am here. How's it going?
All right. I'm doing pretty well, my friend. How are you?
Good. Good. Things seem to be quite busy right now.
That's awesome. Mark has been anchoring the Monday show for me for the last couple of weeks because I've been kind of busy with some soccer commitments, some job commitments. So I want to thank you for that, Mark. I listened to the show last night when I got home. It was awesome. It was great.
Thank you.
So we're here, and we want to share with you guys, just talk about little things. Mark had some topics he had on his mind that he wanted to kind of bring up today. So let's just get started, Mark. Let's go.
Okay. You put a really awesome video out this morning talking about the Animas River fiasco going on in Colorado. And this is going to lead into our other topics. I guess if I understand it correctly, the situation is that, like, out in that area, there are hundreds of old abandoned mines, and there are copper and zinc and other metals in there, and they just kind of accumulate because these mines have not been used forever, and sometimes they get filled with water. So I guess the EPA was out trying to clean out some of these mines, and they, I guess, accidentally released a bunch of this, I guess you'd have to call toxic water, out into a creek, which then flows into some other rivers, which then flows into some water supplies of some cities, as well as there's companies that do rafting and stuff on those rivers. So, it's quite an ugly mess, I guess. And some people, these rivers flow into New Mexico and some other states. And someone from the state of New Mexico Environmental Department released a statement saying that they were not even notified by the EPA that there was an issue or any kind of danger. They found out secondhand and then had to research back exactly what was going on. So, but the EPA apologizes, so I'm sure that makes everything good.
Wow. Oh, my God. If you and I did that, we'd be in jail right now, okay?
Right. And let's not forget, I will be picking on government agencies today as if that's anything new. the EPA are the same people that told all the first responders on 9/11 that were sifting through the rubble for weeks afterwards that the air was fine to breathe and they did not need to don't worry about air masks or oxygen masks or anything. It's fine to breathe all this in. Now, there's like thousands of first responders from 9/11 and private citizens who volunteered to, help out and search through the rubble and stuff that have, debilitating lung diseases now after, the EPA giving their approval that it was okay to, go ahead and search through toxic rubble without any masks or protection. So,
not the first
miscue by this agency.
Probably won't be the last either. But I know with the Animas River in Colorado, the creek, whatever it goes into, they actually create these ponds, okay, to capture some of this stuff that spews out of there. Because, you know, in order to get gold, they use mercury. So you got to understand there's going to be mercury floating down these creeks into riverbeds, into the oceans, into the drinking, you know, facilities. And mercury is one of those substances, you know, you just can't get rid of. It doesn't just disappear. All this is from Mother Nature, but I was so disgusted, just totally just appalled by what had happened and how it was just discounted like nothing happened. I don't know what it's going to take for people to get enraged or pissed off to say, hey, you know what, get some with our drinking while you're messing with, you know, our lives. You know, everybody just sits around, just kind of act like, you know, and like nothing's going on. You know, oh, it's over there. You know, that's not a big deal. But over there becomes over here very quickly. We're not careful. So the EPA says, I'm sorry. But you know what? There should be accountability for those, for the guy who opened up the mine, the guy who authorized opening up the mine. Everybody who's in a position to fall down should fall down and should pay the price and should go to jail and should literally go to jail for what they've done to humanity, not just the earth, but to humanity, man, what they just did. Because you know what? That's unacceptable. That's unacceptable for me, someone to tell me that I'm sorry that I poisoned your water and now you can't drink it. No, I won't accept that, and that is not valid for me. And that's you know, there's a fine line between, you know, saying I'm sorry and meaning it, and then there's a fine, the other line is I'm sorry, but you know what? Too bad. And that's how it feels like to me. It's like, I'm sorry, it's too bad, nothing I could do, it was bound to happen naturally. Well, you know, that's the thing. You know, man has such a lust for gold, has a lust for fossil fuels, a lust for things that are so buried in the earth that, you know, we cripple ourselves, we damage ourselves. And that's what's happening. And this is exactly, this is a 100-year-old problem. This is not like a problem that just happened. This is things that happened a long time ago, and now we're paying the price for it. Because somebody else, now, Mark, when I mentioned a video, I talked about fracking. You know, one of my cousins is a mining guy, you know. He does tests for mining companies and stuff. He's on Susie's side of family, so I'm going to put him over there, okay?
Okay.
He sent me an email one time. He goes, well, prove to me that fracking is not safe or whatever, you know. And you know, he was calling me out. I'm like, are you freaking stupid? You're going to tell me this, that when you pump water back into an empty orifice and it's bound to collapse on itself, you know, are you really telling me, are you really having a conversation? I didn't even respond to him because I was so PO'd about it. And I just deleted him off Facebook. I blocked him. I don't want that kind of energy in my life, you know, even if it's my wife's cousin. But that's the kind of stuff I don't need. I'm tired of people like that, man. Act like nothing's going to affect anybody. Everything affects everybody.
Right. I mean, and even the, okay, so I guess let me start here. Everybody likes scientific reports and data and whatnot, and you can, you know, to back up their facts and things. And I like that too. I like to have scientific background on things, and I try not to, even things that are my personal beliefs, I try not to, most of the time, bring them up unless there's some kind of data or something to back them up. Now, that being said, I discount a lot of data that other people consider credible. Because regardless if it's a big government agency or a trusted company or corporation or agency or whatever, if you have a financial interest involved in it, to me, your data gets relegated to the people like to use the word conspiracy theories and stuff like that. So a lot of these reports by respected government agencies go into the category of unreliable conspiracy, unproven data to me, because they have billions of dollars at stake in it. Therefore, you are not an unbiased, I don't care how reputable or how big your name is, If you have a vested financial interest in the outcome of a situation, you are not a, in my world, you are not a respected authority or respected scientific data provider in that category. Because you have millions of dollars at stake. That's just how it flows. I don't care how much you want to claim you're independent or whatnot. You got billions of dollars at stake. You are not an unbiased scientific data input organization for me. So the U.S. Geological Survey, which I don't really feel has any kind of vested financial, I mean, they study earthquakes and things like that. I don't feel that they really have a vested financial interest in fracking. But they came out with a report saying that wherever fracking goes on, there are more earthquakes, there are larger earthquakes where they only used to have smaller ones, there are earthquakes where they never used to have earthquakes, and they were looking at areas where fracking is going on. So to me, in the fracking battle, the U.S. Geological Survey, which I don't agree with everything they say, but in this area I feel they are unbiased because they don't have billions of dollars at stake in this. When they come out and say there is a verified rise in earthquakes in these areas where fracking goes on, then to me that is a credible source.
Yeah.
They don't have a dog in that fight.
Right, and you're right. You know, you have to know where you're getting your information from, because there's a lot of information out there, and there's a lot of interest, like you said. You know,
I can go on the internet right now and find some report proving that the Earth is flat. You can find a report to back up anything you want.
Yeah.
So it goes down to credibility.
You're right, and here's the problem. How do you distinguish credibility from one to the other if you're not really informed? It's hard to be informed to begin with because you're so inundated with information constantly. And, you know, if you watch the news, I mean, that doesn't help either, because they have their vested interest too, and they have supporters, they have donors and different things that support them. So, you know, as a human being, it's just logical sometimes. Orange water just doesn't look good, and I'm sure it's not very good for our health, you know, and you're going to tell them, they're trying to play it off. And they try to play all this stuff off, you know, like there's no, there's nothing wrong. Oh, no, don't worry about it. There's a lot to worry about, you know, because there's a lot. If the water wasn't orange, we would have never known that what stuff was in there. So make sure.
Right, exactly. And that's probably from the zinc and copper. But I don't know that some of the other toxins that may have been released, I don't know if they have a color or tint to them. So like you said, unless there was something that had a specific, you know, color, you know, causing a discoloration in the water, I don't know that, you know, anyone would have been tipped off. And at the very least, the EPA should have went around and notified the people that there was an issue or something. The fact that the state just south of them had to, southwest slightly, you know, New Mexico, their environmental department was like, you know, what the hell? Can you give us a call? I mean, it's 2015. There were cell phones and emails and texts. Can I get a phone call or something saying, hey, don't drink the water? I don't think, I mean, we spend billions, you know, billions of dollars in taxes every year go to these government agencies. Can they maybe just afford a phone or something? I mean, I can buy them a phone for, give me a couple billion dollars and I can buy you a phone.
That's about how it works, isn't it? Me, that's the part that concerns me. You know, a lot of these things don't have color, like you were saying. And, you know, they probably have been dumping stuff in the water for long periods of time, over periods of time, just little by little like they do. And so you don't notice it as much. But whoever was on the job that day was either, I don't know, intoxicated or stupid. You know, I'm just going to call it what it is. You know, I only let go of a million gallons. or three, and then it turns out to be three million gallons, you know, that stuff. I'm like, whatever.
Right.
Oh, that makes it
right,
better?
Right. They very downplayed the amount that was released, and everyone's kind of complaining they're having a hard time getting information out of the EPA on this. And so, too, that brings to the question, okay, this time there was zinc and copper and stuff that got spilled into the water that have this orange coloration that colored the water. How many times maybe has there been other chemicals?
Exactly, that's
that
my point.
Slipped in? How often do you see there's a weird outbreak of such and such in this little town? You know, you see that kind of stuff all the time. You know, read the West Virginia newspapers. That stuff happens constantly. You know, how do we know that something wasn't spilled into the water? I mean, you know, DuPont's gotten busted several times in West Virginia for just dumping their toxic waste into the water.
That's, yeah. You know what? What they get fined, they just is pennies, you know, to them. You know, they get fined like $5 million or whatever, but they just made billions of dollars. And you know what? That kind of, if you and I dumped motor oil into the freaking river down the street from here, and the EPA saw us do that, they would have our head, they would put us on our head on a stake and make an example out of us and say, hey, you know what? You're going to go to prison, so no one else does that. Well, I think these big corporations need to pay the price too, not just a fee. Someone needs to be responsible. Then we don't need to have these kind of chemicals in our lives if it's going to kill the environment, kill us and cause us to have cancer and cause us to have all these ailments. You know, I would rather live without that stuff, man.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, how many... Oh, goodness sakes.
Man is a mad scientist.
Right. I mean, how many... You know, at a point, I would almost just think we'd be better off without chemicals in our lives, period. I mean, yeah. They spray for insects here, and people's cats and dogs get sick, and it kills all the, you know, I've not seen one praying mantis this year. You know, our bees, all kinds of other stuff are diminishing. And it's like, you know, there's constantly some agency wanting to spread chemicals somewhere. And it's like, how do I know what's really in that? Maybe we would just be better off dealing with the few pests and nuisances we have than putting some kind of man-made chemicals onto every damn square inch of the earth. Mm-hmm. The earth doesn't need our chemicals on it every 4 seconds. The earth has survived for millions of years without some asshole spraying something every 2 seconds. Oh, my God, there'll be no plants if we don't spray anything. There'll be no bugs if we don't spray anything. It's like the island of Dr. Moreau or something. It's like just continuous dumping and spreading of chemicals on stuff, on our food, in the air, on the plants, on the bugs, on everything. I don't want any government-approved chemicals in my life. That is my statement on the matter. Any chemicals approved by the government or the FDA or the EPA, I want no part of, because they're
absolutely
in bed with these corporations.
Absolutely. It's a shame, man. It's a dirty shame. Well, we have a call from somebody here. Let's take it real quick, see what they think about what's going on. I think it's kind of important to hear our listeners, too. All right.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
One second. Hold on.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hi, do you have a question for us?
EPA sucks.
That was quick. What the hell was that?
I don't know.
Well, please, caller. Hello, caller?
Hey, every day is an adventure.
Yeah. Hello? I want to see if you have any questions, if you had anything you wanted to share with us about what we're talking about. We'll put them back on mute then.
Okay.
Must be listening to the show. Everybody ran off. back to the show.
Yep. How? Let's see. Yeah. I mean, it is. And you're just. I mean, what? You're right. You can't walk. I mean, goodness sakes, just take a walk wherever you know, wherever your work is or whatnot. Take a walk for 5 blocks, and I promise you, you will find 200 signs. No parking here. No illegal dumping. No loitering. No littering. No, I mean, every 5 seconds when you're, you know, not out in the country, if you're in a city, every 5 seconds there's a sign saying, you can't do this. There's a fine. There's a fine for speeding. There's a fine for dumping trash. There's a fine for littering. There's a fine for parking where you shouldn't. You know, fine. Every 2 seconds there's a sign. But yet, a government agency dumps 3 million gallons of trash into the water, and it's like, oh, sorry. So mm-hmm. you try that. Go go litter in front of a cop where there's a no littering sign, or park somewhere where you shouldn't. Go into court and then say, oh, you know what, though? I know I wasn't supposed to park there, but I'm sorry. And let me know how that flies. let me know how that works out for you. You know, what are laws anyways? You know, we have all these laws, and we want to ban everything and pass laws against stuff, but what are laws really? Really, laws only exist in a courtroom. I mean, robbing a bank or murdering someone, and I'm not suggesting you do these. I'm just using this to make an outrageous example to make my point.
Please make that point.
But you do these, right. But there's really not anything stopping you from doing anything unless there was a cop nearby or something that, you know, they can trace on your, you know, if you're laundering money, they can trace it on your computer or whatever. Mm-hmm. But really, laws really only exist when you're in the courtroom. Out there, it's essentially the Wild West. I mean, they try to give the impression that there's all this, you know, there's security cameras everywhere and all this stuff. It's like, you know what, if I'm walking down the street in front of a security camera and somebody murders me, the security camera really did not have a tremendous benefit for me. Maybe they catch the guy afterwards, but really it does not have any benefit for me. So it's really the government is just a gigantic – here, let's see if this gets me in trouble. The government is really just a ginormous money laundering industry. If you follow the thread, it's – you know, people from these corporations get positions in the Senate or the cabinet or, you know, some government agency. They go and, you know, commit these atrocities, get small fines, much smaller than the amount of money they saved or made by putting whatever toxins in the water or in food or in artificial sweeteners or whatnot. Then they get some, you know, some little fine. Does that fine go to us? Let's say the EPA pays some big fine. Is the money going to go to the people of New Mexico and Colorado and whatnot?
No.
Or is it going to get funneled back into the agency that collects fines in the government for them to then recycle and hand out to other companies? They're going to do the same stuff. Same thing with the banking bailouts and everything. That was such incredible nonsense. I mean, they just, you know, did that money go back to the people that lost money and lost their houses and stuff? No, it went back to the government. Mm-hmm. The government then takes that money, you know, literally takes over the banks or Ford Motors or, you know, whatever car companies they've bailed out. And, you know, people cheer and stuff. Oh, they got fined. Yes, we got them. Really? Did we get them? Or was it just a consolidation of power and money to then, you know, fund their black ops, you know, to go overthrow a dictator in a third world country, you know, to put in an even more sadistic leader, and then they just funnel this money. It's just one big loop. You don't ever see any of it. You don't get.
No.
I mean, it's just, and this all leads into our other topic.
Yeah. Well, before you say anything, where in the heck have you ever heard of a bank going bankrupt? Nah, never mind. You know.
Exactly. Right.
No, that's ridiculous.
Right. I mean, anybody who supports that too big to fail stuff, I mean, he really needs a mental examination. Because, I mean, come on, too big to – what happened – I mean, if a bank went out of business, are there not 100 other banks? Are there not 10 other huge banks and 50 local banks in your area? It's not like there would never be any money if – you know, if Citibank failed, it's not like there would not be any money on the earth anymore. I mean, it was just such a ridiculous argument and justification of money laundering that it's insane.
Yes. Let's just take that example real quick. I know you want to go into your – we'll come after the break. We'll talk about what you talk about. But like Citibank, for example, if they went out of business, I wouldn't freaking give a damn, okay? You know, because if my business went out of business, they wouldn't give a damn. They would still want to collect on my mortgage or whatever. And you know what? If you can't run your business and you're having issues with it, then you need to close shop. You need to stop. You need to restructure yourself. But you know what? Until the United States government bails the people out too, they shouldn't be bailing out these big corporations. Zero.
Yep. Yep. Agreed. Totally agree.
All right. Let's take a break. Back. Hope you're enjoying our show. This is Lunchtime Wisdom Cafe. I think we're about to change the name today. We'll be right back.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. WithInsightsRadio is a listener-supported radio station. Your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
I understand EPA, but you got to do better than that. You know, you need to clean that shit up like right now. You know that there's orange water in Colorado? All right.
Yes, I believe today's show will be entitled "Rip the New World Order a New Ass."
And you know what? You know what they told me when I called them? And then they put me on this line.
We
are. That's the EPA's new theme song.
Yes, I think that says it all.
Right.
Yeah,
that was
so,
the recap.
I mean, you know. goodness sakes! It just gets more outrageous, doesn't it?
I just want to give a shout-out to listening to the show or going to listen to the show because it's kind of mean here. But I want to give thanks to everybody who takes their time out of your busy schedule to listen. Today's one of those powerful, extreme days that we're just feeling the rant. So let's go into our next topic.
Okay. And this follows along the same lines. Stockholm Syndrome. So... What Stockholm Syndrome is, it is a psychological phenomenon in which hostages express empathy and sympathy and have positive feelings towards their captors, sometimes to the point of defending and identifying with their captors. These feelings are generally considered irrational in light of the danger or risk endured by the victims, who essentially mistake a lack of abuse from their captors for an act of kindness. I know that became a popular phrase with the Patty Hearst thing and other things, other events in our tumultuous history. But I have to say that the United States in general, most of the population, or I want to say a good part of the population, suffers from this. And the fact that the abuse we take from our government and government agencies, there are still people that defend them and, you know, the government should pass a law against this. One of my favorite things is I hear is, you know, people are like, oh, if Congress is divided or the president is a different party than the Senate and whatnot, then the government won't be able to pass any laws or anything. I say good. I don't want them to pass it. I don't want them to pass anything. I would prefer that Senate, House of Representatives, President, Cabinet, everybody else, go on vacation. Go on vacation permanently. Don't come back. Don't pass anything. I don't want any new laws. There's so many laws on the books that, you know, still from like the 1800s and stuff, legislating, like we talked about a few minutes ago, legislating stuff and passing laws doesn't fix anything. It's on paper. I strongly suggest that if you've not read the book 1984 or read the book or seen the movie, there's a pretty decent movie version of it that came out. I strongly suggest if you want to know exactly how government works and how these agencies work and how laws are that you read this book and understand the concepts behind it. Because this is, you know, the Environmental Protection Agency poisons the water. The Clean Air Act allows companies to pollute more. It's all revisionist history. If I wanted to pass a law about making peanut butter mandatory, I would call it the anti-peanut butter law. Yeah. These laws put out a name because they give them a name that sounds very innocuous and sounds like a good idea, but what they do is the exact opposite of what they're called. The Clean Water Act allows big companies to buy credits so that they can dump more toxins in the water.
That's right.
At a much smaller fee than what any penalty would be, or much smaller price than it would cost them to dispose of the chemicals properly. That's how they do this stuff. Is you name it, because they know most people do not go on the internet and read laws that are passed, and that's another reason they make them, you know, 347 pages. Or that's true. That's why they pass laws at 3 o'clock in the morning or on a Friday night when the news cycle is not the same on the weekend. So that's why they do this.
Right.
They give these laws a different, you know, the names of these laws do the exact opposite of what they do. And then they go around and champion these laws and things that they pass. And, you know, the names of the agencies are still the same at, you know, the FDA, you know, constantly approves chemicals and additives by companies that have been caught dozens and dozens of times, hundreds of times, putting crap out on the market that ends up causing cancer in people. So it's just another money laundering agency. And my point about Stockholm Syndrome is like, you know, it's... I mean, when I hear something is FDA approved, I mean, I have to pull my car over to the side of the road and laugh for 5 minutes. It's like The FDA does not protect the people from bad food out there. The FDA is a money laundering organization that allows crap. Did you know how stuff is passed by the FDA? You know what their testing is? So they allow companies to do their own testing on food, additives, preservatives, chemicals, sweeteners. They allow these companies that have been busted hundreds of times to do their own testing and then send the reports in. Then afterwards, if there's thousands of complaints or hundreds of thousands, then they'll take it off the market. The FDA is actually this really small agency, as are most of these agencies. There's no way they can test all this stuff. So when I go to the grocery store and I read something as FDA approved, I give that as much merit as, you know, if it was tested by a crack dealer from, you know, the worst part of, I mean, it holds no credibility whatsoever. Why not just say this was tested by Fred? That would hold as much, not even knowing who Fred is, that would hold just as much credibility as FDA. When I see FDA approved, I think, oh, I wonder who got bought off on this one. I mean,
that's
and it seems
it,
all they do is try and ban vitamins and natural stuff. I mean, you can't even trust things that say they're organic now because they went and changed the laws as to what's considered organic.
Yep, organic just means grown in the ground.
Right, exactly.
I'll bet you'll be certified by organic. Oh, really? Jeez.
Right, and then that allows the companies that, you know, are still putting the same chemicals on their food to just put the stuff out on the market at a higher price because, well, it says it's FDA certified organic. Wow, that means nothing to me. So that's what I'm talking about, Stockholm Syndrome. I mean, people look, if there's any proof that the government is there for your best interest and to protect you, please send me some evidence of this because I've not seen it ever. I mean, it's a giant money laundering mafia is essentially what the government is. So, you know, when the government passes a new law, I'm just like, oh, good, that's 2,496 laws I get to ignore now. I mean, and serious, like I said, too, these laws only exist in a courtroom. I mean, there's no, unless someone is there to see them dumping the chemicals in the water or, you know, whatnot, it doesn't do anything. I mean, all it does is give people a false sense of mind.
And they can catch you or implement it and take you to court. You know, like you said, these laws are applied in the courtroom. But there was 40, let me see, I took a note here. There's 40,627 new laws in the United States since January 1st of 2010. That's a lot of freaking laws, dude.
That's insane. That's insane.
That's crazy.
And I bet most of them I mean, you know what happens is this: these companies that make billions of dollars by lobbyists. The lobbyists go to Washington D.C., give money and favors to congressmen, who then take a really innocuous law and then tag these provisions for, you know, companies and special interests onto the bottom of these laws. So, I mean, you go through, and I've probably spent more time than I should in my life reading, you know, laws and bills online, but that's how I'm wired. But you go in and read some of these things, and there'll be a law on how cattle growing should be regulated, and there'll be an addendum on it has to do with, you know, allowing toxic fertilizers to be used. I mean, there'll be something that has nothing to do with the main part of the law, and that's how they pass this kind of, and then everybody cheers, oh, we've got new regulations on how cattle can be treated. But yeah, but they just increase the pesticides they can put on the land that the cattle are on. So
right, exactly.
Let's stop being loyal and defending our oppressors. I mean, because in reality, and I'll shut up in here in a second so you can talk. I mean, in reality, I mean, 99% of us on the earth get along just fine. I don't hate people in Iran or Cuba or Saudi Arabia or, you know, any other country that, you know, Iraq, any other country that we're supposedly at war with. I would probably get along fine with 99% of the people there, because most people just want to have a house and, you know, have some clothes and food for their family and, you know, a little bit of money to do what they enjoy to do sometimes. It's whenever government gets involved with anything, it turns into a gigantic money laundering cluster.
Yeah. Yeah, and it cracks me up, like when we put sanctions on different countries and stuff because of whatever. You know, then those were our customers, you know, those were the people we were selling to, and all of a sudden, well, we can't sell to them anymore, so we have to go do something else. Russia's a good example. We did that to Russia. We put sanctions on Russia. And Russia said, well, you know what? Fingers up in the sky. We're going to create our own credit card companies, and we're going to create our own systems. You know, they don't need MasterCard and Visa anymore. They have their own system now. I mean, people adapt. You know, North Korea is adapt, regardless if, you know, they have humanitarian issues. I mean, we have humanitarian issues here in our country. You know, we arrest people who heat the homeless people, you know. That's a humanitarian issue for me. You know, when we don't help people who don't have enough to give. So you want to talk about humanitarian issues? You know, there's people, there's kids here who don't have clothes and have school. America has a big problem, but we hide it very well. We hide it super well through our media, through our TVs, through our computers, and through our social media. You know, you see it from time to time. It'll pop up. You know, we have an epidemic right now where, you know, people are very upset, and there's fear, huge fear going on in this country right now. You see cops shooting innocent people, but you also see people shooting cops. We don't see that side of it either. It's both sides. It happens both ways. But that's an epidemic. Yeah. That's something's not right. Something's not clicking when a part of America is very upset and very disenfranchised from the other half. You know, there's a huge problem. It's going to have ramifications. We're going to have ramifications. We're going to have issues with people. You know, you talk about the Stockholm, you know, syndrome, how people just, you know, have compassion for the country and compassion for oppressors. I mean, that's kind of what we're doing. We're kind of letting them do it. We're letting them get away with what's going on down in the river there, in the Animas River in Colorado. You know, that creek filling up with orange pesticidal water, you know, and chemicals and mercury, zinc, copper, all that stuff that doesn't need to be in there. And God knows what else is in there. Arsenic, probably, you know, over time.
Yeah.
But, you know, there has to be, like I said earlier in the show, there has to be a breaking point for America. And we're just talking about America here. We're not talking about the rest of the world. The rest of the world does the same stuff that we do. If you don't think the Russians or the Chinese or, you know, the Peruvians or the Chileans or those guys are dumping stuff in the water, you're just kidding yourself. Look at Fukushima, you know, the nuclear plant that erupted, you know, broke. That's a problem for you, man. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I just saw where they're finding a lot of whales turning up dead in the Pacific now, and they're doing some studies to see if this is maybe related to the Fukushima thing is not under control or fixed at all. In any way, shape, or form, is that situation over? Not even a little teeny bit.
Not at all. You're right. But that's the things when we do abnormal things to the earth, when we try to you know, have domain over her. We don't have domain over the earth. The crap that we buy into, that we have dominion over the animals in the earth, that's not true. That's the biggest lie that has ever been fed to mankind. You know, because if we had domain over the earth, we would take care of it much better than what we do. I mean, we're pretty fortunate to some degree here in Columbus, Ohio. We kind of do that. But there's a lot of unseen things that happen here. People do some crazy stuff, you know, just not to pay an extra fine, not to pay extra money. We make it very complicated. You know, we're systematic and very systematized anomaly, the United States is. You can't take the U.S. and put it anywhere else in the world. It won't work. It won't work. It just won't. The people here have been conditioned over 200 years to do certain things, and that conditioning has made us where we're at today. That's why we act. We do. That's why we don't throw a piece of paper out the window, because we're freaked out that, you know, if we throw out a lit cigarette, Smokey the Bear will pull us over and beat the crap out of us. You know? But that's the kind of stuff when we were kids. We saw, you know, the owl, and we saw the crying Indian, and we saw all different things. You know, you don't see that anymore like we used to when we were growing up. You don't see that commitment to taking care of the earth, because we know that we have to pollute her. We're going to pollute her, because the more chemicals we create for the earth and for consumption and for cleaning your Windex on your car and for cleaning your toilet bowl, where do you think that toilet bowl goes? It goes down the drain. And they reprocess
right.
it, and they clean it, and then you drink it again. You know, there's fluoride
yep.
in our water. There's chlorine in our water. I mean, I'm surprised we're even alive, personally. Honestly,
right.
It's kind of funny.
Right. I mean, if our bodies didn't have absolutely fantastic operating systems and immune systems, I mean, it's, you know, that's what, you know, you got to wonder with all these strains of cancer and new cancers and stuff that keep popping up. I mean, you got to wonder, is some of that maybe a buildup from all the toxic sludge and stuff that's, I mean, really, I mean, even, I mean, you just look at all the chemicals that are, you know, your cleaning supplies, laundry detergent, you know, not to turn this into a chemical phobia hour, but I mean,
no.
When you look at how many chemicals we use for stuff on a daily basis, it just gets to a point
yep.
where it's like, you know, I wonder, will we just be better if, you know, what if we just use soap on everything? Or what if we just use, you know, I mean, it gets outrageous to a point how often we are using chemicals on something, even like just in our own home.
But it's all about money, my friend. It's all about making the big dollar or making the big whatever. You know, people want to make money, and people want to consume, and people want an easy way of life. Somebody wants to be able to cut that grease a lot quicker than using lemons or, you know, orange substance. We're living in a world that everything is given to us. You know, we're sheep, we're cattle, you know. Even the people who buy these products that are environmentally safe, you know, you're cattle too. Because you're actually buying something as well. But at least the cattle, on the aspect that at least you're environmentally good cattle. You know what I'm saying? So
yes.
We're all part of the system. It doesn't matter. Politics, you can hide from politics, but politics will find you no matter where you go. It doesn't matter. You see politics when you drive down the road. You see politics when you make a left turn, you know, and there's a stop sign. That's political. There was something that initiated those things. So when I hear people say, well, I don't want to talk about politics, I have nothing to – well, you know what? You live in a political system. You live in a political world, and it's run
right.
by people who we've given control to, and these people who have control – are making the decisions for us. It used to be the other way around, when the constituents would say, hey, we want this to happen, blah, blah, blah. And then they would actually sit down with their congressional leaders and say, well, what do you guys think about this? Because we can't really do that. Oh, this is the situation. But now they don't even talk to you. They don't even – they ignore you. They send you a freaking letter. Oh, thank you for looking into that. You know, when they tell you – but if there's enough letters coming through – by enough people, enough phone calls, then things do happen. But if it's only a few here and there, a couple hundred, nothing happens, man. They create their own agendas, and they start to create their own world. And, you know, it becomes this amazingly dangerous place very quickly. But see, politicians don't realize what they're creating, what they're doing. They're living in this ivory castle, in this ivory tower over here, and they're, you know, so separated from us that they don't have any clue what we're going through anymore, because they live in a different life. They live in a different world. Their pension
yes.
is different. Their insurance is different. They eat steak if they want, you know. Not everybody eats steak out here. What's going to happen is there's going to be a point where people are going to say, hey, you know, Baltimore's a good example. I wanted to bring that back up because the people there are fed up, man. They're tired. There's stuff that's still destroyed
yep.
from the 70s that have never been refixed, never been reallocated back into the system. And, you know, if they're looking for a problem, they're going to get it. They're going to get it from a segment of the population. And you know what?
Yep.
And they're going to label them terrorists, and they're going to label them rebels. They're going to label them things that they aren't. And when what our military needs to do, hopefully they're listening, is that your job is to make sure that these guys don't get away with what they're doing, these politicians, using you and abusing you. But since you're too busy playing war and playing, you know, playing, I'm going to shoot that guy on the other side of the world, you know what? We're over here left alone without any protection from what's happening and this brutality that's occurring in this, in America. America's a beautiful place. I'm not discounting that. But the military at some point needs to wake their butt and say, hey, you know what? Something's not right here. Not that I want to live in a militaristic world, but, you know, there needs to be a checks and balance. And these politicians don't have checks and balance because they have nobody to be accountable to and no one to fear. But if the military would say, hey, you know what? We don't like what you're doing, there would be some fear. There would be some problem like it used to be in the old days, you know, when the old revolutions would happen. But we don't have that in America. It's going to have to be the people. One day the people will wake up and say, we're done. We're tired.
Yes. Yeah, and it is. I mean, and the, you know, Jupiter just went into Virgo this morning. And so for the up through next September, a little bit over a year, change and reform and our health and fixing and cleaning things up is going to be the big topic. It's going to be changing stuff that isn't working right. The North Node, which is, you know, the future, that moves into the sign of Virgo this November for a year and a half. So for the next year and a half, there's a tremendous amount of this Virgo Earth energy, and it's all going to be about fixing problems and correcting things. And this, these problems that are out there are not just going to go away now. They're not. In fact, this is just the beginning of them. They're going to stay out there until we do something to fix them. We are no longer in a time period where the energy will help us to forget or ignore things. That time mm-hmm. period is over. It's about self-accountability and making changes and correcting things that you see are wrong. That is the dominant energy for the next year and a half at least.
Yeah. And that's, you know, Mark, that's why you see the security forces like Halliburton and all these different type of agencies are created by independent companies, because corporations have a lot of power. They have the ground. They have the power all over the world, not just here in the U.S. They've become such a monster of sorts because they're considered, and a corporation is considered like a person, and then you can actually sue a corporation, not the people parts, not the pieces and the parts inside the corporation. And you can actually dismantle it and imprison it and destroy it. But that's where we're at, you know. That's what we're coming to, really weird world right now. And it's going to be interesting in the next 5 years, maybe just even next year. But in 5-10 years, what's going to be happening in the world? Now that we've conquered and now that we're going and setting colonies up in Iran and, you know, all over the Middle East. The Middle East, you know, is going to be a completely different face in 20 years. You know, where we're making alliances with Iran. I mean, things go on. There's a bigger plan that we're not part of and we're not privy to as well.
Yes. 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 There's much shifting and changing going on now. And it's just going to increase. So just a word to help people deal with the energy the next year and a half, is that you'll have great energy to make changes and to fix things. However, we're kind of ranting a little bit here today, or I'm ranting a little bit here today, but there'll be periods like that, but don't let it spin out of control. Vent when you need to vent, but remember, everything is happening for a reason, and we can only fix a couple things at a time. Don't get too obsessed and OCD with having to fix something every second. The energy is there with us now to start changing things. So we go through, we have to take a thing or two at a time and, you know, fix stuff as we go along. But we're not going to fix, we're not going to fix everything in the next 24 hours. You know, that just put things in motion and let it work its magic. And, you know, address things as they come up, but don't, one of the difficult things of the Virgo energy is to kind of spin out of control and get, like, completely, you know, obsessive compulsive and, you know, always cleaning everything. I mean, even I went on a cleaning frenzy this morning because I was like, oh, man, this it's Virgo energy, because that Virgo energy hits really hard on my chart. So I'm like, you know, just kind of.
I hear you.
Did a little OCD stuff for a couple hours and cleaned and all this stuff. And, you know, so, but just don't get obsessed, but don't get obsessed by it. Because we're going to fix
are
things.
You talking to me?
And we're going to, huh? Yeah.
Are you talking to me?
So, but we'll get there. It's make changes as we go along and, you know, we have the energy now behind us to fix some of this stuff. And maybe some of it's not fixable. And that's one of the other points, too, is, you know, don't just run around like a maniac. Pick your battles wisely. Fix things that, you know, are fixable. Mm-hmm. But don't, you know, don't spin out of control. Don't get too obsessed with things. There's plenty of stuff to fix that is fixable.
All right.
So
we'll take a quick break, Mark, and we'll come right back.
Okay, okay.
Quick break.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
Abracadabra. Butter up.
Abracadabra, we create what we speak. Mm-hmm. Loosely.
Yeah, a little bit. And you're right. I mean, we also have the ability to make it a better world, not just pick out the things that are negative and the things that are happening. Regardless, kind of like pick your battles, kind of like the water situation when you talked about that. There's not a really, that's a battle that we probably won't be able to win per se. It's already done and over with, but we can prepare for other things, you know, another event that could happen. We could avoid another event to happen, something, keep it from contaminating even more. I think we just have to look at life a little bit, but be realistic that, you know, and be honest with people, you know what, this can happen. But that's not good policy and that's not good money for some people. But sometimes I think people would understand, you know, we want versus this and versus that. Do you want jobs or do you want that? I mean, that's kind of what they throw at you. But you're right. We can make this a better world. We can make this a better situation. And with what we have, and human beings do adapt pretty well. And even through the worst of circumstances, we seem to find a commonality. Even if we do ourselves in and we don't have, I think the human race will survive and we'll find a way to make it to the next evolution of whatever we're going to be. But we're going to have to, but it'll take work. It'll take work. All of us working together, not just the little groups and pockets here and there.
Yeah, you're right. Right. I mean, and in, you know, in general, you know, if everybody kind of fixes and cleans up their little space and their little part of the world, because it can get overwhelming. You know, you think like, oh my God, there's all this stuff to fix. But it's like, really, it's, you know, if we all just kind of keep watch over our little areas and clean up our own little areas, then that's going to, you know, we're all part of the collective. So if we all do take care of our little corner of the world, that, you know, we don't have to like you said, I mean, you and I can't go fix the rivers in Colorado or the, you know, all this stuff that's going on around the planet. But if a few people in every area kind of just put some energy towards fixing the things that are wrong in their area, then collectively, you know, we fix things on the whole. Just if everybody does their little part. And we just need a few, you know, a few more people doing their own little part. And, you know, and
that's true.
You know, and that goes for me, too. I have things that, you know, I have things in my area that I need to clean up. So I'm not preaching that I'm doing all this great stuff and everybody else. I mean, I've got stuff that I need to correct as well. So, but
well,
if
we
all kind of, if we all just kind of work on our little areas and that feeds into the whole, and then we all spend a little time on the bigger things, then, you know, that gets us to where we need to be. And I think we're going to see, you know, a lot of restructuring politically as well. There's a lot of big energies coming up here, especially in, you know, September is going to be action-packed, and then all the inner planets are going to be in Virgo too, as well as Jupiter. So, and we'll have Mars in Virgo too. So there's going to be a lot of energy and desire to fix and reform and clean things up that are having issues right now.
Well, it's time. I mean, I think if people work on themselves, like you said, individually, we can make a difference. And you know what? They won't help but notice that, you know, things are not, we're not in alignment with that. I think the connections that we have now, especially in social media and different things, how we can communicate quicker and faster is a huge plus, as it is something that can consume you a lot of your time. But I think people can communicate and get the message. Hey, we don't like that. We don't like this. So, you know, Facebook could be used properly. You know, MySpace, which I don't use very much anymore. There's all kinds of different apps and stuff. I think that's what the human race is adapting. That's one of those adaption points, you know, where how we adapt. You know, now before what we used to see in war-torn areas, we didn't see. We only got it from secondhand. We see people messaging us and sending us, and this is what's really happening. This is what's going on in our view, you know.
Right. I mean, when there's some event or something that happens, you know, we don't have to just go, oh, you know, what does NBC or CBS or Fox or whatever say? You know, we can see people post stuff on Twitter and Instagram and, you know, these other things. You're right, technology can completely be our downfall, or we can use it to network and to, this may be a bad phrase, but that rarely stops me, but, you know, police the police a little bit. You know, this allows us to keep our eye better on what the government and the news media and other things are doing. We can have a way to kind of call them on their stuff. Because we literally have eyes and ears everywhere
now.
I agree.
And that's a good key point, that we have eyes and ears everywhere. That's true. Super true. And, you know, and these big dinosaurs, these big networks are dinosaurs. You know, they're going to have to find a way to adjust. And I see where, like, CNN, they try to have these little segments where people actually do their own little news broadcasts and stuff. It's kind of getting to that. You know, you're going to see a lot of little independent, you know, news, little medias and stuff, like kind of like Block Talk, like our little radio here. You know, we pass off information, you know, but this is more of an editorial type where we're giving our opinion, how we see things and how we're expressing the world. So it's a little different than, and it's just how we're feeling and how we're interpreting what we're feeling through, you know, the events that are playing out in the world. You're going to see a lot of these little things pop. You're going to see these little radios, see a little more news. You're going to be kind of inundated a little bit with information. I see that coming.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's an interesting, you know, too much time can be spent on Facebook showing cat pictures, and which I'm guilty of, and and other things and stuff. But, you know, that's a lot of good comes from these kind of things, too, because, you know, on one level, there's been a corporate takeover of the Earth. That's just what's happened. There's been a corporate takeover. So we, as much as that is a terrible thing and something that needs fixed, on another level, it has, Pluto being in Capricorn, which is self-accountability, it has kind of forced people to stand up and take initiative. Because before, you know, if you were a band or an artist or something, you'd have to, or, you know, our friend David put a book out. You know, before, it's like you would have to shop your book or your band's CD or whatever to some major company or whatnot. But now it's, now the world, as much bad stuff as has happened in the world, we've opened some doors to kind of give ourselves, the government's not going to give us more freedom, so we have to do it ourselves. We have to give ourselves more freedom. Right. So now it's easier to self-publish a book. Our friend David has a book out. I have friends that have CDs that have put out. They didn't get signed to Columbia Records or RCA. No, they did it. They have a MySpace page or a YouTube page, and you can produce and put out your own CDs a lot easier now, your own books, your own – how often are we on the radio? We don't work for Clear Channel or you know –
right.
Whatever the government throws at us, however many cameras and ways they have to spy on us and whatnot, there's more of us than them. Okay. We have 500 million reporters out there. And like you said, you know, CNN kind of fell into the toilet. I mean, they're nothing compared to what they were. But you know what? A little kudos to them. For they realized, unlike the major networks, they kind of realized, hey, what we're doing doesn't work anymore. So I don't really, I don't really watch CNN a ton now, but I can at least say that, hey, you know, they're trying to do some different things and whatnot. And I think you're totally right. I mean, I think we'll see this on the, you know, when there's a big event that happens now, people don't go turn on their major network or whatever. Mm-hmm. They go, so, hey, I'm going to get on Twitter. I'm going to get on Instagram. I'm going to get on YouTube. I'm going to get on Blog Talk Radio. I'm going to get on Facebook. Okay, you know, I've got friends. Man, I got firsthand pictures of the earthquakes in Nepal. Mm-hmm. I got a couple friends over there. I saw pictures better than any media pictures, you know, and like immediately. So we, you know, we can use our brothers and sisters out there. We have the largest communications network on Earth. There's all of us together out there doing stuff. I mean, man, we got friends in Serbia that we talk to all the time.
Yep.
Friends in Greece, New Zealand. We're everywhere.
Mm-hmm. This show's international.
We're everywhere. Yes. We're everywhere. And they can't really stop, as much laws and regulations and stuff as they throw at us, they can't defeat us because we're amazing, unique creatures that are adaptable. And any laws they throw at us, any kind of, oh, you can't feed homeless people, you can't grow your own vegetables, whatever they throw at us, we can counter it. And we always have and we always will.
Right.
Because we're in the right, and we are amazing, adaptive creatures. And that's how we roll.
That's how we roll, man. We adapt.
That's right. Anything you throw at us, we will counter.
And
we'll laugh at you while doing it.
It's like the monkey throwing poo at you, right?
Right.
No, I always think of that one. Yeah. Yeah. So lunchtime wisdom was good, man. It's good lunchtime wisdom.
Yeah. So I would just You know, in closing, I would just say, you know, stop. Make sure that you're not helping your oppressors. Stop feeding into the system as much as possible. Local farming, local banks, whatever you can do to where you're not totally reliant on a system that we can already see is self-destructing, the better you're going to be. And we're going to adapt and overcome anything that they, you know, anything that gets thrown at us. We're going to figure out a way to work around it. Because we've got all the smart, intelligent people on our side. We've got all the artists and all the entrepreneurs and all the rebellious people. They're all on our side.
That's right. You know, what's funny is they are us, you know?
Yeah.
And they forget that. They forget that. Because they drink the same water, they eat the same foods, they breathe the same air. Unless they're on some, like I said, some teleporter, takes them someplace else at night. I mean, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, waiting to crawl into their secret bunker somewhere or something. Which, hey, you know what? Even if they do have secret bunkers, what kind of life is that?
Yeah.
Where are they going to, you know, if they do go try to destroy all the, hey, go ahead, live your life out
underground.
Stuck underground for eternity. Go ahead. Yeah, I've had it.
Probably a whole world underground we don't even know about. The mole men.
Exactly.
Can we come out of camp now? Because we can't, because our eyes will burn by the singeing of the sun. All right. Well, I had a great time today, like we always do. It's fun to hang out with you for a little bit and share our stuff.
Witchy.
But so you have a show coming up on Friday, right? Just give us a little plug about that.
Yes. Nick, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Nick Dagon Best. He is an esoteric astrologer. And he will be on with me on Friday. We'll talk some esoteric astrology and Venus retrograde. And he puts up incredibly awesome posts. And he's got a book out too. But he kind of takes historical events. Mm-hmm. And in his book, he puts the astrological chart for what was going on during the American Revolution and the, you know, World War One and other, you know, other big historical events, and looks at the historical people involved and then kind of applies it to the modern day and stuff. So really fascinating stuff. His Facebook posts are great. He puts several up a week where he looks at some historical event and really awesome stuff.
All right. Sounds good. Since we know the world's changing and we want it to become a better place, we always, this is what we play on our Monday show, but I'm going to play it tonight to hear on this show to fade out with. So,
I'm sensing some Michael Jackson coming up.